The white man has educated him. Until today, he'll out-lie or out-steal any man you ever knew. We have taught him that that's kind of the thing to do. And so he don't worry about it. He just does it, period. And if anybody else steals from him, why, he'll keep him from them if he can. But if he can't, well, that's all right. That's a white man's way, and they want to kind of be like a white man. So, that's just the game there, but not in early days, I'm telling you that. And those women, they'd take you in their hut and sod house and take your parkie off and take your mucklucks off, and they'd strip you plumb naked if you'd let them. A little embarrassing sometimes, but what they wanted was to mend holes. If you had a hole in your parkie that the snow would drift through, they wanted to fix it for you. Anything wrong with your mucklucks, they wanted to fix them. And that's why they took your clothes off, not for any purpose at all. They slept those days in their naked. They just didn't wear anything. The idea was perspiration. Now, the white men didn't know that, but perspiration is the thing. They just couldn't dry anything out. So if there was any snow on your parkie, why, they would brush it all off. Any snow on your mucklucks, they'd brush it off before they took it in because of the thaw. And that's the reason they liked that wolverine fur, because it didn't gather moisture when you breathe. And that moisture get on it, it wouldn't settle on the wolverine fur. It's the only fur they knew of, or that anybody knows of today, I guess, is the wolverine fur that'll do that. Well, they just didn't want anything damp, and they wanted to get rid of all the dampness there was, because then if you sweat, got your underwear damp, sleeping at night, by next morning put it on and go out and you're liable to freeze to death. So that's the reason they slept without anything on so much. It wasn't because they wasn't modest, wasn't because they was immoral, wasn't, but it's just the way to live, that is all. Another thing about them, so many white men, they got up there and got scurvy. Well, the Eskimo never got scurvy. The reason was that when he'd kill an animal of any kind, or for instance a walrus, why, the stomach was the prized thing of the walrus. That is filled with shellfish and the like, and caribou. They got a caribou. They would clean the meat, skin it out fine, just like you would kill it, and clean it. Then they would take the paunch and put up on top, and they'd cut it open. That'd just run down all through and around the meat while it was still warm. Then they'd let it for a thaw, freeze there. But when they cooked it, why, they just cooked that paunch and all and got the vitamins that the caribou had picked up. They'd done the same thing with ptarmigan or any of their birds. When they got them, they'd clean them as you would. Then they'd put the entrails in the bottom, the meat on top, and boiler good and done. And they had good soup, and they had all the vitamins, and that's the reason they didn't get the scurvy. Now, I've heard a white man say that dirty women, they wouldn't eat any of their grub. Well, you've been playing tripe in about any civilized country you go to, and people eat it, the best of civilized people. I never bought any. I just didn't care for it. But, well, they'll say the white man washes it better than you. Maybe they do. I don't know. I never watched them put it up. But anyhow, I know this, that if I was sit down way in the north someplace and knew I had a year to go and had to make my own living out of the brush, I kind of think I'd live like the Eskimo does. Now, I come in there losing a partner one time that way because he was finicky. I was an old man then. I must have been near 25. He was just a kid and very finicky. When he'd wash a frying pan, he'd wash it clean. That when he'd cook hotcakes in it next morning, they'd stick. But I didn't mind him being clean, but he liked to hunt rabbits and birds, and we had 22 rifles and all that. And I warned him, I said, save a box of shells to go home on. Oh, he would, that was all right. And he'd go out and get birds and rabbits, and we'd eat them. And come down to go home, and there's no box of shells. He just hadn't made a mistake, that's all there was to it. So we had to go anyhow, and took what we had and started. We had to travel along the north side of the mountain range for about 2 days and a half, and then we went through the range to the south side where our cabin was. Well, there was an Indian village about 4 miles from the pass, and when we got there, we'd been about 2 days without anything to eat and had about 3 or 4 more to go, and I decided I'd go by the Indian camp and maybe find something to eat. So went by, and sure enough, they'd went out and snared rabbits and birds and had a big stew on. Well, the Russians left copper kettle there. When they were there, we had some of them for a long time. And this was me, cooked in a copper kettle. I knew what in the bottom of that kettle, but I didn't say anything. And we decided we'd eat maybe a couple of rabbit legs or something like that and rest for an hour or two and eat some more and then go on. So I had pretty well put away my 2 rabbit legs, and my partner had 2, and one of them reached into the kettle, and with a big horn spoon, they make a spoon out of sheep horn, straighten it out, boil it, and fix up quite a spoon. Well, he reached in with this big spoon, and when he drug it out, why, the spoon was just about 2/3 full of antlers, and some hanging over the side, and it was a kind of a nasty-looking mess. His partner, Ryan, seen it, and boy, he started for the door, and was he sick. Well, I thought he was going to die before I got home, but I was able to borrow a few shells from the Indian, so we got a couple of rabbits, but he'd look at the rabbits, and he'd be a long time eating them. I did have quite a time of getting that guy home, I'm telling you. Well, one day, it seemed like I was about half my time that I'd misjudged my grub with the distance and run out of grub before I got there. One day I was traveling across country with my dogs. It was early spring, quite a bit of snow on the ground, and it had been a year that the rabbits had died off. Well, the dogs, they'd eat these rabbits under the trees, didn't seem to affect them much, and I knew I'd been hungry enough to know how it does it. It kind of sneaks up on you. After 4, 5, 6 days, well, you begin to get off a week, and you just do about 10 miles instead of 30. You just don't get along. That's all there is to it. And I knew I was getting to that, and I sized up one of these rabbits laying under a tree, still frozen, of course. And I knew he'd died with the disease. I didn't know what it was, but I said to myself, I just guess I'll eat one of them. And so I got him and skinned him and got the hindquarters and the loin out. It looked all right. And I started cooking him. Well, I just cooked and cooked and cooked to be sure all the germs was gone. Then I cooked him some more because it just took me quite a while to make up my mind I was going to eat that rabbit. But finally I did. Tasted all right. And it sure did make a difference in the walking, too, I'll tell you that. And next day or two, I got a rabbit. He might have been sick, too, for all I know. But he wasn't so hard to eat as that dead one was. People just don't realize what they'll do rather than to die or get caught in a snowstorm and freeze to death or something. They'll just go a long ways, I'm telling you. Now they talk about the virtue of the Indian and the Eskimo. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, they got no morals at all. Well, no, I don't know about that. I've been among them people a lot, and I find them in their own way pretty moral. One thing you don't find for a sure thing is a professional prostitute. They're just not there, that's all. You might find a gal that, well, a little loose, that will have 3 or 4 boyfriends and not too particular about her virtue, but they've got a law for that, too. Now, we will say that kind of a girl and she gets in the family way, why, they think that she knows who done it, and she'll name the boy. Well, the boy will just be tickled to death. He's the father of a baby, and a baby's what they want, so he's just tickled to death to marry the girl. Which is 100% all right, as far as I'm concerned. And another thing, I've heard so much about the Eskimos trading women and giving their women to somebody else to go on a trip and all of that kind of stuff. I've just never seen it. That's all there is to it. It never happened around where I was, I'll tell you that. It seems to me like it's all right for a girl to be a little loose, but after the woman's married, why, it just don't go anymore as far as I've seen, as far as I've learned about them. Now, there's another thing that's both of the Indians and the Eskimos, or used to be, not today, they're kind of got our ways now a little, but it used to be that if they would marry a woman, and she was not fertile and couldn't have a baby in 3 years, why, they could take another woman. They didn't know that a man might be unfertile, too. They thought the woman would be his woman's fault if they didn't have a baby. So, well, they've quit that now, of course, but then that was all right, too. They didn't take another woman unless they could support her. That is one of their laws. And another thing that I've heard about the Eskimo is they'd rock their old folks up in a bunch of rocks and seal them up and let them die. Well, I've never seen that either. But I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen a man of 30 not married because he had a mother or a father that he had to support. And he couldn't support the mother and father and the wife, too. So he just didn't get married. That's all there was to it. It seems to me like the worst thing that one of them can do is what they call throw your mama or papa away. They just don't do that. When the folks get old and they can't go hunt for themselves, why, one of the boys, it don't seem to make any difference which. It might be the youngest or the oldest, but it seems the last one married. He's the one that's got to take care of the old folks. Now, Dick, I'm going to jump the gun on you about 6-7 years. And I had 10 dogs, and I was going up the Chippewa River. I had 6 or 5 dogs that were about 6 years old, and I had another 5 that was about 18 months. Of course, I was breaking a leader, and I figured on driving 5 dogs different lays on the river, my trap line. I got up to Chittenden, and I got me a cabin fixed up and all ready to go by the time the trapping was ready. I'd come up the river on the shore ice, and some places it was frozen clear across, but it wasn't good ice. It traveled a lot on the shore. And I figured on trapping in the mountains, so I went into the mountains, and I'd always drive this young leader with my old leader. Because if you've got a dog, drive him over a trail once. If he's any kind of a leader at all, why, he'll go back over the same trail. So I'd drive my young leader along with my old one and guide my old one. I laid out about 3 good days high in the mountains, where about half the time you'd be on snow and about the half the time you'd be on tundra and rocks. And I just like to trap in that high country. Well, I was getting along fine and decided I'd lay out another couple of days upriver, so I did. I laid out 2 days, one day upriver, and then above the river on a ridge, I laid out another line coming back and built a cabin or a lean